to Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praised.
And a very good morning to you. Thank you so much for joining us here on the last Saturday of 2014. It's Marriage Beyond the Vows. We are talking about having fresh starts and new beginnings. Are you in need of one in your relationship? And you need some advice? Well, give Marcos a call. You have a little bit more time to do so. 855-454-5905. We were in the midst of a conversation with Madeline. We will rejoin that conversation at this time. Madeline, are you still there?
I am.
Thank you, Madeline. We really do appreciate it. For all of those who are just tuning in, you are listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows here on Praise Your Inspiration Station. I'm your host, Marcos Mercado. And with me, right beside me, is Tiffany Bacon. And we have Madeline on the line. And Madeline just called right before the break, and she has shared that she's been separated from her husband for 8 years and is asking if she should reconcile or should she get divorced. How does she even go back to, you know, being intimate after so many years? You know, all those complications or challenges that you may face in trying to reconcile. So, Madeline, I have some scriptures I want to share with you really quickly, and the answer might not be what you think, but I think it's appropriate. All right, you ready?
Okay.
Do you have a Bible there with you?
Ooh.
No, it's okay. If you don't, I'm just going to read these really quickly, and hopefully you have a piece of paper and a pen so that you can write these down. The plans of the righteous are just, but the advice of the wicked is deceitful. That's Proverbs 12, verse 5. Then the Bible says the way of a fool seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. That's Proverbs 12:15. And I'll read a couple of more. And it says, listen to advice and accept discipline, and in the end, you will be counted among the wise. Proverbs 19:20. And finally, plans are established by seeking advice. So if you wage war, obtain guidance. Proverbs 20:18. What do these all have in common? Advice. They're all advice. But the Bible talks about advice. And I must say this, and I got to stress this. Advice is simply just advice. You know, there are some things that the Bible is incredibly clear about. But when it comes to situations like yours, Madeline, you've been separated for 8 years. You know, not the divorce part, unless you have, you know, biblical grounds for divorce. I would not advise you to do that because the Bible, you know, talks about that. Unless your husband has been unfaithful and you're like, okay, we can't reconcile. However, you can, if he hasn't been unfaithful, you could decide, well, I'll remain by myself for the rest of my life, or I'll reconcile with my husband. That is a decision that you and only you can make. And of course, your husband has to make it with you as well. So
I'll answer the question regarding faithfulness. That was not, I mean, it was an issue. So.
Okay. So is he with someone else now?
No, not to my knowledge.
Okay. Does he want to work this out?
I will find that out shortly because,
okay,
like I said, God had a plan, and he moved me away. And for 7 years, I've been doing God's assignment. Now it's time to deal with this. So I'm trying to understand, okay, well, how do I be intimate? Do I give divorce and let him show that he wants the marriage and be historical or, you know, godly, blah, blah, blah. I see
where you're at. So you haven't even had an open conversation with him yet. Are you going to meet him face to face anytime soon?
I'm hoping, yes.
Okay. So this would be my advice, okay, and it's my advice to you, is start with the conversation, and I hope and pray that you start that conversation with prayer and let God work, but don't make a decision before then. And just saying, God, you know, if in basing it on what we talked about, you're quoting it, right, from 2 Corinthians about having godly sorrow versus worldly sorrow, asking God for wisdom. It's like, listen, this man has been unfaithful, but it's been a long time. Maybe he has a change of heart. Maybe he's different. And if he is, for you to be able to see those signs clearly. If that's the case, if your husband is showing signs of change or repentance, my encouragement would be this, and this would be my second advice to you, besides the first one, which having the talk, is take it slow. Like, it's not the type of thing like, oh, you miss him so much, and it's like this romantic time, and now you're back in bed, and you move back in together. Mm-hmm. It's like that can overcomplicate things. Now, again, the reason I say it's just advice is for this reason. If you did have this sit down with your husband, you had this romantic time, and you end up sleeping with him,
mm-hmm,
you didn't sin. I think sometimes we got to understand that, you know, he is your husband. So if that happened, it's not like, oh, my goodness, what did I do? But the reason I'm advising you this is because a lot of the baggage that was there it's and if you leave it undealt with, you still will bring with you to the new relationship. So what I say by and by what I mean by taking it slow, I'm not saying it needs to be like years and years, but the Bible and going back to the scripture here, I love what it says here about advice, is that sometimes the way of a fool seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. You know, the Bible even says that, you know, sometimes the way of a fool will lead to death. Like, we can't always trust ourselves. And so we got to surround ourselves with people who we know love us and care and are wise and take their input. And so I think that's one of the reasons you called. But I would advise you, listen, with a lot of prayer, you sit down, you have this conversation. If you see some kind of godly sorrow, then start moving forward. And the time you decide to actually live together and reconcile and move things together, it's after you've done a lot of praying, a lot of talking, a lot of conversation, and you've taken it slow. All right. Again, that's just my input for you. If you decide tomorrow you just want to take him back, he's your husband, that's absolutely your free right to do. You wouldn't be in the wrong.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I've been praying that God work on him, you know, and I needed to see some changes even before I went back into this marriage.
Amen.
So hopefully, you know, God is listening to me, so I'm pretty sure that.
And that would be such a testimony. So I'm praying for you as well.
I mean, you just don't know. I've been through, and this assignment was for the world, humanity.
Amen.
So I'm like, well, he used something that is married to use me to get through it, and I was like, oh, Father God, you set me up.
Amen.
So now I'm going to deal with the real issues because I don't want to be intimate and, you know, be dead because this man is doing, you know.
Well, you know what it is. You overcomplicate your life. Absolutely. Well, thank you, Madeline. We do appreciate it. Please call us back. Let us know what goes on, you know, in the next few weeks.
Very good, Mac. Very
God
good
bless. Thank you, Madeline.
Thank you very much.
All righty.
Take care.
Have a blessed day. Happy New Year.
All right. Let's go to Janice calling in on line one from Philadelphia. Janice, good morning. You're live on the air.
Hello. Good morning. God bless.
All
God
right,
bless
Janice,
you, Janice.
Good morning.
Good. You called in to Marriage Beyond the Vows, and you're speaking to Marcos Mercado.
I'm calling about starting a new life in Christ.
Okay.
I've been living single life over 20 years now, waiting on the Lord, and now He opened the way for me to walk in, and I'm excited to move into my new life for the new year.
Okay. So what's the next step for you?
The next step for me is to follow what the Lord has for me, have in store for me. But he's giving me some breakthrough right now and show me who I should talk to.
Okay. So are you in a relationship now?
Oh, no. I'm living single life now. But for the new year, the Lord showed me who he wants me to talk to.
Oh, so you don't know who it is yet. You're
yes,
kind of like.
Yes, of course I know. Who is it? Of course I know.
You know. So that's what you're hoping for the new year is to start this new relationship.
Right.
Okay. And do you believe that this relationship is from God?
Of course it's from God. It's in my church.
Amen. Well, let me tell you, Janice, not all the time when people are in church, that means it's from God. But all right, well, good. So what can we do? Is there something you would like for us to pray or encourage?
Well, my church is the Church of Christ, and it's located on 7240 Walnut Street, and I'm the high priest there.
Okay.
And the pastor who is there. He's the one I'm going to marry to.
Oh, okay. Well, Janice, well, congratulations. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Yes, I just want to tell the good news. When you wait upon the Lord give you the best.
Amen. Well, thank you for sharing the good news with us. We're very encouraged. You have a blessed new year.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Janice. Awesome.
All right. And we invite you to give us a call at 855-454-5905. We're talking about fresh starts and new beginnings. So if you're looking for a fresh start, you're not quite sure how to achieve that in your marriage, and you need some advice, this is a good time to give us a call. 855-454-5905. Stay with us. Marriage Beyond the Vows continues after this. We'll be right back.
to Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praised.
Welcome back. We are in the final segment of today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows, the last one for 2014. And we thank you so much for joining us. We're talking about fresh starts and new beginnings. If you're looking for a fresh start in your relationship and you're not quite sure how to achieve that, well, Marcos is here to guide you. Just give us a call at 855-454-5905. Also, you can look us up on Facebook at facebook.com and then search Marriage Beyond the Vows. So Marcos has given me opportunity to give you some more of my 12 steps. I put together 12 steps for me to prepare for a brand new year. And these are things I've been doing randomly for a couple of years, but I decided to just put like a solid list of these things together, and there were 12 steps. So step number 4 is create a vision board. Figure out what it is you'd like to accomplish in the year and actually do a physical vision board with like some poster board and magazines, old magazines, or you can use a website like Pinterest, which is pretty much an online scrapbooking site, and find pictures that illustrate the things that you want to have or achieve in the new year. Tie up loose ends comes in at number 5. So if you have a bunch of unfinished projects, take a few minutes to try and finish them. If you have too many, then maybe reassess how you start so many projects without finishing previous ones, and then make a plan for yourself on how you will finish all of these previously started projects before you start any new ones. Actually, not have any too many things left untied. That also includes conversations that you need to have with family and friends and loved ones. If you've not said something that has been on your heart to say, take a few moments to say that before the new year comes in. Also, with that said, visit family and friends. Have you been meaning to see Uncle Joe for a while and you know he hasn't been in the best
Joe,
of health?
You got to go to see Uncle Joe in prison? Is that the one?
Whomever, if he's in prison, in the hospital, or just doing his regular old thing in his home. If it's somebody you haven't seen in a while and it's been on your heart to see them, please do, because the worst thing in the world is to find out that they have fallen ill or passed away and you have not had a chance to see or speak to them. And number 7 is...
Oh, no, don't go yet.
Let me go to number 7.
No, let's go to number 6, and we'll finish out the rest in a little bit. We definitely want to go to the calls. We are posting these on Facebook, by the way, and we'll make sure they're posted on our website as well, praisephilly.com.
All right, so let's go talk to Kathy, calling in from Philadelphia. Kathy, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning, Kathy.
Thank God I've been able to get through to you.
Amen, amen.
Well, I've been trying for the longest, but...
Amen. Well,
I
welcome.
I have a question.
Sure.
I have been divorced since 2005. I divorced because of situations where my ex was still talking and affiliated with old people.
Okay.
And the week after we got married, a call came through from one of his exes. And I asked who it was.
Okay.
And he got really upset. He ended up trying to choke me. The following day, I left. I got a divorce.
Wow.
A couple months later, I filed for my divorce. It was final, 2005. I've not seen him. I talk to him periodically.
Okay.
During that time, and he then was still seeing his friends. He then moved to Harrisburg, and things didn't work out. He started calling, and I forgave, but I didn't forget.
Okay.
And I tried to help as much as I can. Then he told me that there was a problem there, that they were going to put him out. He had nowhere to go. I said, well, my mom's room is available. I will rent it to you, letting you know there's nothing here. There's just no feeling. I'm here to help you. Well, he's been here now, and he is telling me about his feelings and how it is, and I've been telling him there's none here.
Okay.
I really don't know what to do. I'm looking for a place for him. He's not taking his medicine, and I need help.
Okay. So let me ask you a question. Did you get any advice before you allowed him to move back in?
No, I did not.
Okay. Okay, and did your family, it was your mother's house he moved back into?
No, it's my house. But okay. I lost my mom in 2005, February, right before her birthday. And it was her room.
Oh, I understand. So you had that basically your mom's room you had kept.
Yes.
And you said he can use that room.
Yes.
And so now he's living in your house.
Yes.
In your mother's old room.
Yes.
Okay. And now he won't leave?
Well, he says he's looking for a place. I'm looking for a place for him. But I know I'm doing right. I've talked to my pastor even after he's been here, and the pastor said that I'm doing right. I'm not married to him. I'm not his whenever he needs.
Sure, sure.
I know I'm doing right. I guess I need the spiritual push to know, no matter what, I know I'm right.
Okay. All right. Well, I could tell you this, Kathy. We have, 1 second. Larry, could we merge that other call as well?
Yes.
Okay. So we have Dr. Harold Arnold. He's a good friend of mine. He can get in on the conversation and help us out as well. Harold, are you there?
I am. Good morning.
Oh, good morning. Good morning. I don't know if you got to hear Kathy, who just previously called.
I've only heard about maybe 30, 45 seconds of
okay,
her,
no
so
problem. Well, welcome. I'm gonna briefly recap what she said. Years ago, and before 2005, she was married, and her husband was still kind of having inappropriate conversations with some of his ex girlfriends or you know other women in his life, and then she confronted him on it, and he actually choked her. He tried to kill her. She got out of there. She divorced him. For a long time, she didn't hear back from him until he got into some really complicated situations, didn't have a place to live. Obviously, his other relationships didn't work out, and she let him back in the house.
Another thing.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
The bottom line, he says he doesn't remember any of the things that happened.
Wow, okay. So is he mentally ill? Does he have emotional issues?
He was in the service, and he has
post-traumatic?
PTSD.
Yes. Okay. So, Harold, do you get that part? So now that she moved him back in, she's like, listen, he wants to reconcile, but she's like, no, I don't want to have anything to do with you. She was just doing the right thing, wanting to help him out. But he's not taking his medication. Now she even mentioned added to this that he doesn't remember. So, you know, she's just calling for some advice.
Right, right. Yeah, well, I mean, there are several layers there. And first, you know, I applaud her for her kind of initially drawing those boundaries and saying enough is enough and kind of moving on. It sounds like I heard her saying, you know, I know I'm doing the right thing. I know I'm doing the right thing. I heard her repeat that several times. I mean, what that says to me is that it's important for her that she does the right thing.
Absolutely.
I really applaud that as well. And I heard kind of a spiritual undertone to that as well. So my assumption there is that part of that doing the right thing is really feeling like, look, this is the direction that God is, is kind of nudging her towards. And, you know, but we also appreciate that in the multitude of counsel, there is safety. So I think it's a great question to raise. I think it continues to be about boundaries and what she wants out of the relationship, not necessarily what he wants.
Absolutely.
Out of the relationship. And it sounds like, you know, what she wants is to feel like she's doing her part in trying to help him to the next level. But as far as a romantic relationship, it sounds like that isn't what she wants. And so it sounds like she would have to continue to make that point very extremely clear in order to maybe get the message. I mean, maybe he's hoping that there can be some kind of reconciliation, but she doesn't have the trust or interest to proceed in that manner. Is that a fair encapsulation?
Yes, absolutely, superlatively.
Oh, okay, so Kathy, let me ask you this. So have you mentioned to him already that you're not interested and that you want him to
move?
Okay, and does he, has number one, are you safe?
Has
he gotten violent? You see, because, you know, if he's not, if he's already been diagnosed, you know, with post-traumatic stress disorder.
I think about that more so now because the last couple of days he has not had his medication.
Yeah, and I think that number one is your safety. I know you're striving to do the right thing and you wanted to help him and you're staying pure. You don't want to have anything more. It's very complicated. You know, once you move someone back in, and now you're even feeling the burden, the spiritual burden. And I think what Harold said as well. So you've mentioned it. Have you gotten anyone else involved? Have you actually been,
no.
You know, okay. I think you might have to. Is he under the care of a physician?
I need, if there is someone that I could speak with that he would be willing to talk to.
You think he would be willing?
He's a psychiatrist, a psychologist at the VA. But I don't know if it's making any difference. It doesn't seem like it is.
Oh, so he is speaking to him?
He is speaking with someone. I only spoke with his psychiatrist once. That was when she asked me to come in. And that was it.
Okay, I think, but the psychiatrist is the one that is prescribing his medications, which now you're saying he's not taking.
He has not taken it
in
4 days.
Exactly, and I think that's the very first thing you need to do is contact the VA and say, listen, you know, speak to the psychiatrist that you spoke to and saying, you know, whether that helped you before or not, and let her know for the record, listen, he is not taking his medications. And then the next step, too, is, you know, if you're afraid, if you're concerned about your own safety.
Not, because I have a good person on my side, and okay. I am not afraid.
Okay, okay. I could be honest with you. I appreciate that faith, but at the same time, God has given us, you know, asked us to have wisdom and to even pray for wisdom and not put ourselves in harm's way. And it's concerning. I think for myself and anyone else that's listening, Dr. Harold, maybe you can agree to that.
I completely agree. I mean, I think one of the things when we talk about boundaries, you know, as I said, I applaud the effort to help but one of the things I think that's important there is to have conditions around that help, and one of the conditions, given, you know, the mental state, is to say, look, I really want to help, I feel compelled to help if that's where you're coming from, but one of the conditions of that help is that you have to be taking your medication. Because oftentimes if medication is not being taken as prescribed, he may have the best of intentions and his condition get the best of him. Right. And so he may act impulsively in a way that he didn't predict, nor did you predict that he would respond in, that could all of a sudden put you in harm's way. And so it's really, and I think that Marcos is really nailing that point, that you have to keep that safety in mind and his fragile mental state.
Dr. Howard, I'm going to have to get off the phone because they're coming down now.
Okay.
But if there's any way that someone could call me back or I can call.
Okay. Well, we could do this. And Kathy, just stay on the line. We'll get your information and give you some more information for you to speak to our producer, Larry, okay?
Yes. Thank you, and God bless you.
God bless you, too.
All right.
God bless you.
All right. Thank you. You know, Dr. Harold, this is a very, you know, serious situation, I'm sure. There is a website. It's called familyofavet.com, and they actually give some really good input about, it's really for spouses who are dealing with someone with a, you know, post-traumatic stress disorder. And I think that the biggest problem is that sometimes you think you can help, but this is way beyond what
right.
one person can do, or a spouse, or, you know, just loving them is not going to help. I mean, she even sounded afraid getting off the phone. And she's saying she's not, but I mean, maybe that's just us reading into it, but it just wasn't, it's like, hey, they're coming down. And I'm like, that's just not,
right.
that's not healthy. You know, that's not the way you want to live.
Right.
It broke my heart when I said, did you get any input? Because I was like, who in their right mind would say to move someone back in under these conditions? You know, I know you try to help, but sometimes in trying to help someone, you actually, you know, cause more harm than good.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, I think that's exactly right, that in our effort to help, And I think we undervalue, and that's been one of the long-held concerns about PTSD, right? Mm-hmm. That it was underappreciated for its significance. And
yeah.
So you might think, well, you know, look, everything seems okay, or it's not. Whereas if somebody said, for example, he's schizophrenic,
yeah.
right? There's a certain stigma around schizophrenia, and it would heighten your sensitivity, you know, and be like, oh, I don't know about that. But when it comes to something like PTSD, it doesn't raise the concern that it really should. And obviously, the VA has a significant appreciation for PTSD, because, you know, they have a lot of resources to speak to that and to help families with that. And that's because it is a major concern.
Yeah.
And so I think you're right in really ringing the bell that, look, you just have to be hypervigilant.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. And I think what it is, Dr. Harrell, I think sometimes we know what we should do. We just don't want to really do it. And
right.
in some cases, I mean, she really needs to kind of, I mean, this is not her husband anymore. She needs to kind of, you know, separate herself even further, maybe in wanting to do the right thing. Like I said, she did more harm than good. It's amazing because she's saying he doesn't even remember the what led to them getting divorced in the first place, which was his violence and, you know, grabbing her and choking her. It's a lot going on there. We definitely need to say a prayer for Kathy.
Yeah.
And you know, Larry is getting her some information as we speak right now. But Dr. Harrell, thank you so much. We really appreciate you calling us today. How's it going? We're talking about fresh starts and new beginnings.
Yes, yes. And this is a great time to do it, right? I mean, here at the end of the year, it's kind of that logical time when you start just psychologically wrapping things up and thinking ahead to the new, you know, to the new year. And so, you know, it's a great time for goal setting and not necessarily New Year's resolutions. I'm not a huge New Year's resolution person, but goal setting is so important, and it's a great time, you know, for everybody to kind of recollect over the year what's gone well and what are those goals kind of looking ahead. So it's a very timely topic here at the end of the year.
Well, let me interject here for a second. So why not New Year's resolutions?
Well, I mean, there are statistics that say that about 42%, I believe is the statistic, 42% of people's New Year's resolutions are abandoned after 1 week. 1 week. So there's only 52 weeks. There's 51 yeah. more weeks left. So if you're going to abandon it after 1 week, it's not going to get you very far.
I think they
just don't have sticking power. You need something that has more, is more compelling and that's driving you towards, you know, who it is that you want to be, what you want to accomplish in this coming year. And New Year's resolutions just have a bad history.
It's just bad. It's like, hey, get rid of it. You know what I think as well, Dr. Harrell, it's the fact that I know for me, the goal setting has definitely worked. It just works. I mean, I'm very goal driven. I write it down. I share about it. I pray about it, and it just seems to work. You're right. I didn't even look at it this way when it's like a New Year's resolution. I don't know if I ever called it that way. But maybe if you really try, like, hey, I'm gonna go to the gym every day, which already you know you're probably gonna fail because if you miss
a
day, then that's it. But what happens is if you don't get it done, then you feel like, I'll just start next year. Like, I didn't get it done. Instead of like, hey, I'm going to accomplish this goal, and I got up until that very last moment to get it. So if it was a goal of, hey, I'm going to go back to school, I'm going to register for school, I'm going to, you know, do something, you know, I'm going to start looking for a new job, anything you're trying to do to better yourself, at least, even if you go back and it's December of 2015, and you're like, it's not too late to apply for that new position, or it's not too late to register for that course that I said I was going to take. So maybe that's the difference psychologically, instead of saying, I'll wait to January, or I'll wait to, you know, next year.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think you're absolutely right. And I think that one of the mistakes that people make in that goal setting, you know, you really don't want to set all your goals by the end of the year, this is what happens.
What about the ones that say?
What happens with that is the end of the year sounds so far away. So January 1st, in just a few days, December the 31st is going to sound like an enormity of time.
Sure.
And so what you want to do is to set, and so you procrastinate. And once you get into kind of a mode of procrastinating towards the goal, it's hard to generate the momentum to actually achieve the goal. And so what's much better is to set interim goals. So, you know, what are your first quarter goals? And then you break that down. In order to get to this first quarter goal, that means by March this is done, then this is what I need to do in January, in February, in order to satisfy that that March goal.
I hear you. That's good stuff.
Yeah, so it makes it much more accessible, and it said there's much more immediacy to it. Like, okay, I got to get going next week, right?
No, I agree with you. Now, Tiffany came up with a list of 12 steps. Mm-hmm. She's going to dance for us. We're going to do a little YouTube recording. No, I'm kidding. But she has these 12 steps that she's been talking about. We've already been through six of those. Mm-hmm. What I did want to add with you, Dr. Harold, is, you know, what would be the number one advice you would give to someone when they're getting ready to set their goals for the new year?
Yeah, I think of your why. And what I mean by that is, why are you here? I mean, what is it that God has for you to become? Who are you becoming as a person? You know, sometimes we use words like purpose and calling and, you know, avocation. I mean, what is that passion for you? I mean, you have to tap into that, because if you can't have a sense of that, well, then it's hard to really see, well, what you know that saying that if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. And so it's really that sense of what is your why, and then figuring out, well, what are the goals that align with that why, you know, and do that and talk. And if finding out your why is hard, well, then talk to some trusted others, people who really kind of know you, get you, because sometimes it's easier for other people to see your why than you. You know,
like
they
that.
Have they bring a more objective perspective to it. So, you know, in that council,
start
to get
why.
A sense of here's where I'm, this is what I'm about. And so here are some specific, measurable, attainable, you know, realistic time delineated goals that help me towards my why.
Okay, well, I like that. Start with why. And you know what? That's really good, because I think some folks, you know, let's say it's a fitness goal. Are you doing
right.
it because you really are doing this for yourself to feel healthy, or you just want to what other people think? Because sometimes that's not motivation enough.
Right.
You know, and what we've done, however old we are, or however long we've been trying, whatever you've done in the past hasn't worked. So you got to figure out, okay, what's going to be different? And I love that. If you start with the why, the reason
right.
why you're doing this. And before I let you go here, Dr. Harold, because we do have quite a few callers we want to get to, what do you think about folks that they set that goal? And you already mentioned this, right, about not like giving yourself just that year. But
right.
I don't know if you meant it in this perspective. But I think that sometimes folks are like, all right, this is the year that I'm going to find the love of my life. You know, this is the year that I'm gonna start dating or get married or whatever. And it's like, what if that's not within God's will? Like, is there a better goal that you can set that maybe gets you towards what you want to accomplish, which is finding that special someone? Or you know, gearing towards marriage. But is there something better than, hey, this is the year I'm going to meet them, or this is the year I'm going to get married kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great question. I think when you start with your why, and then you kind of break that down to, well, if it's the year, this is the year I want to get married. Well, maybe one of the things that has been a challenge for you in finding that person has been a weight challenge. You brought up fitness. Maybe you really, it's self-confidence. You don't have a lot of self-confidence because you don't like the way you look and feel. Maybe there's some health issues that you have to deal with, so you can't get out to socialize as much as you would like. Maybe you feel like you would be more attractive if you, you know, could drop, you know, some more of that weight. So you can be thinking about, well, this is the year I get married. Or you can say, okay, this is the year that, you know, I want to lose, you know, X amount of pounds. And so set, you know, if you say I want to lose 15, 20 pounds or whatever, to have them, as we said, first quarter, you know, I'm going to lose 5 pounds. as you lose that 5 pounds, it increases your sense of confidence that you can do this. This is real. You see the momentum towards the 20 pounds, you know, and then you start to feel better about yourself. That self-confidence kind of exudes in the way you interact with other people, you know, and the next thing you know, you've moved socially down farther down that path than you had otherwise. And so awesome. I think that's a great way to make that goal more specific. And because you can't control really whether you get married this year or not, right?
Maybe it depends how picky you are, right? I'm sure you can hey, we're getting married. Here you go, you know. But I always joke about that one, right? You're like, hey, I have a green card. I'll go to another country and I'll find a spouse. You know that?
Yeah, you're not right.
Really the motivation you want. Or hey, I have some cash. You want to get married? Like, not what you want to do, but. I know what you mean, but I think very, very much, Dr. Howard, we really do appreciate it. Real quick, how can people find out more information about what you do?
Absolutely. I blog and podcast at haroldarnold.com, and you can interact with me there. Love to hear from you. A lot of information on family life and how to be a person of influence. And so, yeah, love to hear from you. That's haroldarnold.com. And I certainly wish everyone in your audience a happy new year, and really do make this year the best year ever.
Amen. Well, thank you so much. Much love, and we really do appreciate you taking the time to, you know, call in and spend a little bit of moments and give us some nuggets of wisdom. Thank you so much, Dr.
Absolutely. Thank you for the opportunity. God bless.
God bless you, too.
God bless
Thank
you, too.
Thank you. Before we continue on here with our callers, you know, we're going to take at least one more call. I believe we have Annette here who's been waiting patiently on line one. Then right after her, I want to remind everyone, Tiffany is going to finish out today's program by giving the rest of those 12 steps. She's already been through 6 of those. We're going to go ahead and give out the rest. But before we do that, we will go to Annette.
All right, Annette calling in on line one. Good morning. You're live on the air.
Yes, good morning. I have a question. I was prompted to call because of that prior caller who was talking about her mentally unstable ex-husband.
Yes, yes. Well, Kathy called.
I've been married only a year and 10 months, the 22nd May, 10 months. And I've actually separated from my husband. And I tend to be very analytical, so I wanted to really research it and find out, was it me, was it him? Or, you know, it takes two to tango. I do know that, but so I was speaking to a healthcare worker, and she actually told me it sounds like he may have adult autism.
Mm, okay.
And because of his age, never been diagnosed. You know, he was born in the 50s. I was born in the 50s.
Okay.
And this is actually, I'm married the first time 2 years ago, approximately 2 years now. And this is his second marriage. 32 years he was married to his ex. And has not learned anything at all. I mean, it's like I know that is a mental health disorder,
okay,
adult autism, and they actually showed you the symptoms online. I did my own research, and out of the 10 symptoms they underlined there, he exudes at least 8 or 9.
Wow, okay.
And I don't know. It's just so disappointing because I knew him as a teenager.
Okay.
And it's been a whole lifetime ago, really. He's not the same person. And he does claim to be saved. And I believe he is. But because of this mental health disorder, it's put me in a really bad situation because I did take my marriage vows seriously. But I mean, I don't have a wand, magical wand, and I can't say words that would, you know, really change its mind. So, and I'm looking for counsel. We actually did go to counsel, and for a brief period, we were on one accord with that. But right there at the counseling session, because of this disorder, he blurted out something that was so hurtful.
Wow.
And that's the problem. He's very unapologetic. He wants me to be forgiving. But like I was telling him, you know, even with salvation, if you don't repent, there is no salvation. I mean, it's a two-edged sword, this apology thing.
Sure.
It's a two-edged sword. I mean, you apologize and you forgive. But I've already forgiven him, but the words, we as women want to hear those words. I'm sorry.
I hear you.
That apologetic spirit and the mental health disorder on top of it. And it's left me now going forward just wanting to make sure that I'm doing the right thing and I stay in prayer. And I'm just hoping that God gives him the wisdom and the understanding to try to seek counsel, and he's very much against that. You know, I had to really bend his arm
okay.
to go to this initial.
I'm going to have to interject because we're definitely running out of time. Thank you so much. We really do appreciate it, and I really do believe that your heart is to want to please God. It sounds like it. Like you're torn because you're like, I want to make sure I'm doing everything I can. So you're currently separated, correct?
Yes.
All right. And he won't get help. He refuses to get counseling at this point.
Yeah. I mean, it was just that one consult that we had.
Oh, wow.
The same pastor who actually married us.
Okay.
Got the sheet of paper as to what to do, and we were going to be, you know, actually referred to someone, but that
okay.
individual counselor was not available. So we're just stuck here now.
But is he willing? Is he willing to at least talk to somebody that you know of?
He's really unteachable. He's got that type of spirit.
I know, but my question is not that. Is he willing to sit with someone?
I think he would be.
Okay.
Just to
All right.
try to maybe salvage.
Okay. And I think that that's where you got to be able to start. And I think you can't with a clear conscience. And again, this is my opinion, but you know, you want to make sure your conscience is clear. You know, the Bible is very clear on marriage, divorce, but we don't always talk about this. I do sometimes, but you know, 1 Corinthians 7, where it does allow for separation. And basically verse 10, where it says, you know, a wife must not separate from her husband, but if she does, she must remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband.
Exactly.
So meaning that although it's not in every case advisable, I think in situations like yours, it may be necessary. If someone has mental illness, if they're abusive, if they're using drugs, you know, certain situations, it might not deem for divorce, but it might say, hey, listen, I'm better off right now being alone or reconciled. So to me, it sounds like you're at that point where you're definitely separated. You're trying to figure out, should you reconcile or not? But one thing I do want to urge you, and that is to make sure that you are treating him the way Jesus will want you to treat him, the way Jesus treats us. And that means that God, although he's just, and like you said, you're right about salvation, but he gives us every possible opportunity. He just does. And I think that if he's willing to sit with someone, if someone wasn't available, then go with someone else. Now, if after that he just won't listen and he just won't do it, then you've done everything you can. But if you're saying he's willing to get help to salvage the marriage, then at least walk through that door with him. That would be my encouragement to you. So at the end of the day, your conscience could be clear. You can face God and say, listen, we did everything we could. He still wouldn't change. But you never know. He might. It might be the right person. And I think that is where we just need to really pray to God. Saying, God, I pray that it will be the right person that can really, it's an expert in dealing with his issues, that can really get to him. Because there's a part of me that's wondering, you know, if even not being able to apologize has something to do with his own, you know, mental issues or disabilities.
Yeah, that's one of the symptoms of autism, being not just unable to empathize with another person and not seeing the need or, you know, desire to apologize.
Absolutely. And so I think that you're going to have to meet him where he's at. I'm not saying move him back in. I'm not saying, you know, just reconcile automatically, but at least he's willing to go through that door. Say, hey, I'm willing to go through that door with you. Keep your boundaries. You know, you also know you don't want to be, you know, abused physically, verbally, anything like that.
Exactly.
But don't harden your heart so much that you're not willing to walk through that door with him. Okay.
Right. See, that's a communication deficiency he has. That autism
of course.
Is all about communication.
Absolutely.
He's not able to even communicate.
But you're saying he's willing. So if there's somebody, especially someone that specializes, I don't. And I can tell you right now, it needs to be someone that really understands autism. If not, they won't really understand his situation.
Yeah, that's going to be a hard one. I know.
Well, I think much prayer. God will guide you. But if he's willing, I believe you'll find the right person. You're a smart woman. You know God has opened some doors there. I think there's hope. The fact that you've both been through a lot, you're mature enough, and you're trying to get God's guidance on this one. But we'll definitely be praying for you, Annette. We thank you.
Thank you.
If there's anything else comes to mind, I'll post about it as well, Annette.
Okay, thank you. I think it's something that really needs to be addressed, because that's one topic you don't hear about.
You don't, you know, and I think it's what you said. It's someone, especially, you know, you're talking about being born in the 50s, and, you know, this is relatively new. There's so much of this now. Folks are starting to find out, and even the degrees of how severely autistic someone is or isn't. So we thank you again, Annette. We really do appreciate it. Give your husband that chance. Walk through that door with him.
Okay, thank you so much.
God bless. Thank you.
Right.
You're very welcome. All right, we got just literally about a minute and a half left here, and I want Tiffany to go ahead and finish out her 12 steps for going into the new year.
All right. Step 7, write a note to your future self. Tell yourself something that you want to be or to have accomplished by the end of 2015. You can go to the website futureme.org and actually set the date that you would like that email delivered into your inbox. So it could be next year, year after that, 6 months or what have you. But write a note to your future self. Number 8, donate or sell anything that you haven't used all year. Again, making way for whatever new is coming your way in 2015. Number 9, make or buy new clothes. Why not start off the new year with a new look? Feel fresh and clean and all like that. If you haven't sewn in a while, dust off the sewing machine and get cracking. Number 10, try a new hairstyle or something else brand new. Again, with the newness spirit, try a new look altogether. Number 11, forgive yourself and others for any wrongs that happened in 2014. Going along with the theme of not carrying old junk into a new year, this can definitely help if you can practice forgiveness of yourself for anything you may have done wrong, or of others who have wronged you. And finally, and also first, meditate and pray. Take time every morning where you have quiet time, just you and God, time where you're speaking to God and time where you're listening. So the meditation is the listening and the praying is the speaking. So make sure you include that in every part of every day from now until forever. And those are my 12 steps. If you'd like to get a detailed outline of what all of these steps include, then you can also visit the site groovecitylady.com, but you can go to praisephilly.com. You will get some portions of that there momentarily.
Amen. Amen. Awesome. Awesome. And again, we invite you to visit us on our Facebook page. Praisephilly.com is obviously our website. We could also go to facebook.com/beyondthevows. And I have just one thing I want to encourage everyone for this new year. Instead of focusing on your spouse, or if you're hoping for that future spouse, become and work on being the best spouse you would want someone to be. Mm-hmm. So the best spouse you want someone to be for you. So if you feel like your wife or your husband is not patient enough, then you become more patient. Mm-hmm. You know, if you want them to be more attractive, then you become more attractive, you know, whatever that means for them, you know, and so on and so on. Mm-hmm. So work on you instead of trying to work on changing everyone else for this new year. We thank you. It's been an amazing 2014. We look forward to a new year.
Right.
We'll be back.
Lots of new things. And please have a safe travel if you're going somewhere for New Year's celebrations or White Watch Night services. Please be safe in your travels. Much love going out to our producer, Larry. Thank you for all that you do. Have a peaceful, positive, and productive one. We'll see you in 2015.